Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. We are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey today. We have been talking God's B-team in the month of August. Fascinating stories of very easily overlooked people. This is actually part four of four. If you have missed any of the first three, we would encourage you to go back. They're available at charlestownroad.org or wherever you access our podcast feed. The first Friday of August, we looked at a little girl. We moved from there in week two to look at a widow. Last Friday, a passerby. And Roger, we are drawing this to a close by looking at a man people might not even know his name if they were asked.
His name is Justus, and we're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 1 and talk about a story. You know, if we were to throw his name out in a Bible trivia game and say, what book of the Bible is he found in, a lot of us wouldn't know. It seems to be just a one-verse statement about his life, but I think as we do a little digging, there's lots of layers behind all that. And one of the things that this lesson, this little series is showing us, is that there's a lot of people that play secondary roles that may not be so well known, or in the Bible, their names are not even given to us, but they're significant people. Every one of these has a life. Every one of these had a soul that Jesus loved. And that's true to us today. I mean, you may not play a significant role in the church or your company, wherever you may be, but you can do some things that's great. You may not be the one that everyone knows the name, but you can be the helper of other people. And that's what's important to us in these things.
You mentioned Acts chapter 1. Let me do a little bit of reading. This is immediately after Jesus's ascension back up into heaven. We know that 11 of the 12 apostles, the 11 who are still alive, of course, Judas not still alive after his terrible betrayal of Jesus. Those 11 are in Jerusalem, and Acts chapter 1 verse 15 tells us that in those days Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So," Peter continues, "one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Roger, one of the things that I love about our church family here at Charlestown Road is how many are involved in the health and life and growth of this local church. If you're a member of our Charlestown Road church family, you know that one of our young men that we are so encouraged by, Zach Dinsford, just this past Sunday night, talked to us about one of these two men, Matthias. And if you have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to that, we'd encourage you to go and do that at charlestownroad.org. It was such a great lesson that we really appreciate. But one of the great things is there are so many different opportunities to learn, so many different channels. In fact, one of our real goals is to provide quality Bible instruction and encouragement via a variety of different channels. And so we've got this podcast feed. But on Wednesday of this past or of this week, you, Roger, wrote a jump start on the other man. Zach talked to us about Matthias. You wrote about justice. And as we were looking at all of this, we thought, what a great example to draw our own little Friday series to a close. What on this ordinary Friday, can we learn from this man named Justice?
Well, first of all, we know that he was a believer. We know that he was qualified, and here we find what it took to become an apostle. You had to be a follower of Jesus. You had to witness his ministry. You had to witness his resurrection. All those things that had been done by both these men, Matthias or Justice, had that not taken place, their names would not have been put up. So obviously, both these men were qualified. I think the apostles, the 11 that were still there, I think they thought either one of these men could work, either one of these men. And so it wasn't like Matthias is the shoe-in and we'll just put up Justice just so it doesn't look like it's so obvious. I think either one of them could have been. And they want the Lord to choose. This wasn't a political campaign. There was no vote for me stickers or anything. And, you know, they weren't giving speeches. And man, Matthias is such a better speaker than Justice. They prayed and God was the one who chose this. Just as Jesus chose the original apostles, God chose this one. And as we look at this, God chose Matthias. We're not told why, but Justice was not chosen. Now, what's interesting is both these men, this is as far as we read about them in the Bible. There's no known miracles done by Matthias. There's no books of the Bible written by Matthias. There's no recorded sermons of Matthias. Where did he go when the apostles went into all the world? That's just left a tradition and speculation. This is all we know. But this is also all we know about Justice. And what we're going to look at today as we think about Justice is here's a man that on that morning when he would assemble with those apostles and think about being chosen, he wasn't chosen.
So it's one thing to be Matthias. We know that both of these men have a lot of context with this movement, with Jesus. They have been witnesses of some incredible things. And one thing to be Matthias, to have this go in the direction of, okay, he is numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's look from the standpoint of the man who wasn't chosen. If the apostles in one sense are the A team, now we know based on the writings of Paul, especially that being an apostle in the first century, it wasn't the lap of luxury. These men weren't sitting in ivory towers being fed grapes and fanned with palm fronds. They lived a hard life. But from one perspective, okay, let's say the apostles are the A team. And Justice is right there. Perhaps he woke up that morning thinking, my life is about to change in just an unimaginable direction. But he goes home having been not the one. What can we learn from that?
Well, what this brings to us, and I think, you know, when we look at this, there's a lot of questions that come out of this. You know, why didn't God just pick Matthias and don't he have Justice go through? Why did he have Justice go through this and then to be rejected? And it wasn't like, well, Peter voted against me or, you know, Nathaniel didn't like me for something. It was God who made this choice. And so here's someone who thought he would be among the apostles, but the Lord decided otherwise. And what we're dealing with is a subject of rejection. Now, you know, that's part of life. You know, every young boy wants to be on the varsity team. Not only everybody makes the varsity team. You want to get this job, and they hire someone else. So there's a lot of rejection in life. But here we're dealing this in a spiritual context. To be among the apostles meant that he would go in all the world and preach the gospel. He'd be a witness of Jesus Christ. He would go on and do great things as God would want him to do, but God did not choose him. And how do we deal with rejection? A lot of people don't do well with that. Some people get very jealous. And as I wrote about this past week, you know, one of the things that they do is they just become a thorn in the flesh for Matthias the rest of his life. I mean, every time he would suggest something, there would be justice saying something against it. Every time, here's an idea, I'm against that idea. And some people, that's how they deal with rejection. You didn't pick me, so I'm going to make your life miserable from now on. I don't see this in the scriptures. And you might say, well, where do you get that? Because I don't think he would have been the quality and the character to be named up here if that was his nature. I think to follow Jesus and to be one who's going to be named among these apostles, I think he had a quality and a character that would have been sterling, something that would have been kind, someone that would have understood that. But the lesson for us is, how do I handle rejection? How is it when someone else is chosen over me? A lot of times, in a lot of settings, the one who's qualified and ought to get it doesn't get it. Favoritism by the boss, family favorite somehow gets in there ahead of you, and that makes us oftentimes very, very bitter.
And that bitterness drives us to, okay, since I'm not the one who is enjoying this, I'm gonna make the life of the one who is miserable. It makes me think of, in one sense, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the instruction that all of us as Christians are given to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. Justice could have decided in that moment, okay, I'm going to allow this root of bitterness to take root in my heart, and I'm just going to make Matthias's life and the apostles' life and everybody's life in Jerusalem miserable. But what advantage would that have been?
Yeah, and I think a biblical example of this goes back to the days of Abraham. God had promised a child, and years passed, so finally Sarah introduces her servant to Abraham, Hagar, and when they have a child, Sarah makes Hagar's life just miserable. And she doesn't do things well with that. And so that's one thing people do. When I don't get what I wanted, I didn't get the job, I didn't get the promotion, I didn't get on the team, I just get mean-spirited. And that is never the right approach. That's not what God wants. Life's not going to be that way to you. You're not always going to come out on top. And so sometimes I think lessons like this in our Bible is to help us to see where we are as well.
All right. So number two, you suggested in the face of rejection, some just decide to leave.
Just leave, especially leave a congregation. A name was put up to become one of the shepherds or one of the deacons, and the person's qualified, but for whatever reason, he wasn't chosen. And the internal response is, well, those people don't appreciate me, those people don't like me, they don't want me, so I'm out of here. I'm just gone. And again, justice could have done that. He could have gone home that day and say, I'm done with this Jesus guy. And, you know, they want me to go over here and preach. Well, I'm not going to preach. If I can't be an apostle, I'm not going to do anything. And just kind of, again, withdraw within himself and become mean and ugly and just bitter. And that's a response some people have.
To borrow from Paul in 1 Corinthians, can you imagine this weekend if all of the various parts of your body that weren't readily visible, your kidneys, your liver, your heart, your lungs, just decided, well, because I'm not on the outside, because I'm not like a hand or a foot or a face, I'm just gonna pack up and stop and just shut down altogether. That would have a devastating impact on the health of the body. There are times that all of us have the opportunity to serve in front of others, serve in opportunities where no one knows. In fact, Jesus commends us, encourages us in his great Sermon on the Mount. Serve when nobody is watching. Serve when there aren't trumpets blowing. Serve when no one but you and perhaps the person being benefited and the Lord knows. Had justice decided, you know what, I'm done, I'm just going to walk away, the body would have suffered as a result.
The apostles could not do the whole thing themselves. They needed the support of all the disciples, and they needed these other people to help them. And so you may not have been an apostle, but there's still things to do. And I think that's one of the lessons that's going to come out of this as we think about that.
I appreciated how on Wednesday in your jumpstart, you floated the idea that based on what we know of this man and everything he had seen, how encouraging would it have been to imagine him praying for Matthias?
Absolutely. And as the latter part of the New Testament is written, we read about the death of one of the apostles. And then we read about Paul and just how many times he was beaten and put in prison and just endured and suffered. And how when word of that got around, how justice might have thought, that could have been me. These are my dear friends. And how his prayers would have been for the safety and the well-being of these apostles and the growth of the kingdom. I see a man who's a great supporter of Matthias. Now, the scriptures don't bear that out. But when you think about the character of person that would have been an apostle and for his name to be put up there, I see that. And I see one that would have been a great help for Matthias and the other apostles. Not all of us can be in the front, but some of us can be in the back, and we can be the best cheerleader, the best helper others need to have.
You had a line in your jumpstart along this line, you know, encouraging us not to quit, not to give in to the spirit of pride and selfishness. It's a total misunderstanding of humility and service and love. And to bring up another channel of biblical encouragement from just the last couple of days, we had Brother Mark Roberts on Wednesday evening talking about leaning on Jesus. And one of the things that I'm going to take away from that lesson that Mark presented for us is how often our pride gets in the way, not only of our relationship with each other, not only when, okay, you've got an opportunity that I don't have, but perhaps that pride balloons and it gets in the way of my relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely. You know, in Romans 16, as Paul mentioned so many people that helped him, he refers to some that were called outstanding among the apostles. Again, one time these names are found in the Bible. We don't know their story, but they meant so much to the people there. And I think the same thing could be said today. In every congregation, you know, we know the preacher's name. We may know all the elders' names. But behind that is just a vast number of men and women, lovers of Jesus, who help, who support, who make things happen, who are make sure the building's nice and clean and comfortable, who's pushing buttons that will get everything right in technology, who are inviting friends. There's just an army of people that are helping. And not all of us have a title. Not all of us are apostles. Not all of us are elders or preachers or significant roles that we may think about. But these other roles are just as important.
Roger, you and I right now are talking into microphones we didn't set up. We wouldn't have known where to plug in, what needed to be plugged in. We are using technology to record this podcast that neither one of us really have a good handle on. Our entire Wednesday evening summer series is available for all the world to see, and it's archived, Lord willing, for years and years to come, because some hardworking young and older men in our AV booth have taken the time to capture all of that and record it for us. You and I get the privilege of standing in front of a big auditorium, but when those microphones aren't working, we can talk, but it's not loud enough for everybody to hear. There is so much that goes on behind the scenes that if those various parts of the body weren't playing their role and doing it with excellence, the potential of the body is completely hindered.
I had a preacher friend just recently ask me what software we were using to do some of our broadcasting. And even before I could answer, he says, oh, you don't know that, do you? And I said, you're right. And I don't know that. I don't need to know that. Someone else takes care of that. But they do it in such an excellent way. That's how I see justice. Okay? You know, when we name the 12 apostles, we name Matthias, we name Paul, we don't think about a justice, and it probably goes we can go a long time without ever thinking about justice. Most of us have never heard a sermon about justice. But what did he do in the first century? And what's really interesting is when you read Acts chapter 8 and you read about the great persecution that took place after Stephen's death, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the rest of the disciples scattered. Justice would have been one of those who scattered. He went to a new location. What did he do? Well, we're not told, but you know what? Probably preached, probably talked to others about Jesus, probably lived for the Lord. And those are the things that we understand all of us need to do.
At the conclusion of your jumpstart the other day, you brought out that justice isn't the only one like this in the Bible. We've got Peter's brother Andrew, who was never included in that closest inner circle. It was always Peter and James and John. James and John were brothers. Why couldn't Peter's brother be there? And then you brought up the runt David, right? When Samuel came to Jesse's house, all of the sons were invited in. David wasn't even included. He was left out. And, I mean, just example after example after example in Scripture. Justice is a good example, a good way of putting a bow on this principle of God's B team. What would I have done had I been in the shoes of justice, or that little girl who knew that Naaman, a Syrian general, was deathly ill, or that widow who is giving all that she has and doesn't know what's next. I'm Simon of Cyrene. So many different examples that we could look at of easily overlooked people, and maybe it's easy for me to think, well, since I seem to be easily overlooked, I don't matter that much. Roger, how would you draw this whole little series to a close on this Friday as we head into the weekend? What do people need to realize?
They need to realize, number one, God's counting on you. No matter what you can do, God's counting on you. There's a wonderful story, and this may come up if we do this series again, because there's so many more people we can talk about. But there's a wonderful story of someone who anointed the Lord before he died. And the apostles kind of rebuked her for wasting that perfume. And the Lord said she has done what she could do. And that's what God wants of you. Now, you may not be able to preach. You may not be able to do something publicly. You may not be able to serve in some capacity that has a title. But you can do what you can do. And whether that's being the encourager, whether that's being the inviter, that's being the one who's behind the scenes, the one who supports, all of us have different roles we play. All of them are significant. And so when we think about God uses you, God needs you, so does the church. There's a place for everybody, and everybody has a place. And that's something that is significant that we need to see. And I think that's one reason why this is in our Bible. I mean, how easily they could have said, well, Judas went out, he killed himself, so they're going to get another apostle, and that'd been Matthias. Okay, we don't know much about him, but that's him, and on we go. But God puts this little story about how this came about. And he tells us about this unknown guy named Justice. And he wasn't chosen. But that wasn't the end of the story, I don't think. I think we need to see that, although, why didn't God choose two apostles? That wasn't his plan. Why didn't God choose Justice? That wasn't in his plans. What was Justice to do after this? The same thing he did before he was chosen. Serve the Lord, use your talents, do the best you can wherever you are.
Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for this series and walking through it with me. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope this four-part series and even this last episode has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. We encourage you to remember this weekend, as always, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound and the best is yet to come.